Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful CBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. And this is your host, Allison, and as always, I thank you for being here. Happy you decided to join us this evening. Now, before I get to my guest, I just got to take care of just a little bit of Allison business. I just wanted to let you all know, especially those of you that live in the southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, that on July 31st at the Circle of Miracles in Doylestown, PA, I am doing a workshop, How to Identify Your Heart's Desire and Follow Your Greatest Joy. I'm also scheduled, I think, to do some private readings afterwards. So if you, you know, would like to attend a workshop or even get a reading, I'd love to meet you. And all the information about this particular workshop can be found on SusanDuvalSeminars.com. And you can find that information on the front page of BBS. Just go to Visible by Numbers, click on the info tab, and the links and the information is right there. And I would love to meet you. So if you're interested in attending a workshop, that's the latest one. Okay, so there you go. There's my business. Now let's get to this, my wonderful guest this evening. You know, I am absolutely delighted to have had the opportunity to meet my guest this evening. We've had some wonderful conversations, and I'm just positive that you're really going to enjoy him. My guest this evening is Mark Anthony, who is a practicing medium descended from a long line of psychics and mediums. He has studied mediumship with many well-known mediums, as well as studying in England at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. He also is a successful attorney, a certified mediator. He's licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. I'd say that Mark is a very charismatic guy, and it's not surprising. He's an accomplished public speaker. He regularly lectures not only on law, but also on life after death and how to connect with the spirit world. And Fox News and other media regularly call upon him for his services. He is a guest lecturer. He teaches at universities, civic, religious groups, and also grief support groups. So he's really well-rounded, very charismatic, really great guy. His website is healgriefwithbelief.com. And I encourage you that while you're listening to the show, why don't you head on over there? I mean, he's really got a wonderful website. There's testimonials. His blog is wonderful. There's a lot of great things to check out there. And it's healgriefwithbelief.com. And again, you can find that link if you just go to the Visible by Numbers on the front page of BBS, click on that info tab, and you can link right off that page with all the information about Mark and tonight's show. So there you go. And, you know, it's time that I kind of bring Mark on. So, hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great, Allison. It's wonderful to be here with you, and I really appreciate being able to work with you. I've just been so excited getting to know you.
Well, I think in some ways we kind of share a lot of the same energy. You know, everyone that listens to the show, they know that I'm a numerologist. I do many, many shows on numerology. I do readings on the show, and I always like to do the numerology on my guests if they allow me to. And without question, you know, when I look at Mark's chart, the long line of psychics is definitely, his chart is screaming, screaming mediumship, psychic ability, and also that there's real purpose for you being on this planet, Mark, because I really feel that when it's all said and done, you're going to be making a major contribution on this planet, and your chart is very impressive, and you have all the numbers of a teacher, all the numbers of a psychic and a medium. I mean, it's all there. So, you know, that really, I'm always excited. I mean, actually, if I didn't know you and didn't know who you were when I pulled up your numbers, I would have been telling you all that stuff. I would have said, hello, Mr. Psychic. Hello, Mr. Medium.
Well, thank you. Awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I love, You're welcome. I love the fact that you're an attorney, but I guess I'm not. I never asked you, what kind of law do you practice?
I practice in three different areas of the law. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I do personal injury, which is accidents and injuries, and then I'm a certified mediator. So I'm hired by other law firms and insurance companies to try to referee between civil disputes.
Oh,
and,
I get it.
Yeah, and I enjoy all three, but it's really nice healing conflict as opposed to promoting it.
Sure. Now, I'm assuming you go to trial.
Oh, yes.
And so you, at time to time, have to pick a jury, right?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, having mediumistic and psychic ability really comes in handy picking a jury. Go ahead.
No, I would say so. That's why I asked. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny because I think he's retired now, but there was a bailiff, and for those of you who don't know, a bailiff is the deputy, which is assigned to court. He's a police officer that works in court. And I got up and I selected a jury, and when we were on a break, he walked up to me. He goes, "You're a psychic, aren't you?" And I go, "What makes you say that?" He goes, "I'm half Native American." And he goes, "And my grandfather was a shaman, and my grandmother was a water witch." And he goes, "And I saw what you were doing." He goes, "You see spirits, don't you?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "So do I." And it was really great. And even my client said, "What were you doing?" And we won the trial, but it's how I was tuning in into the jury. I wasn't asking them the usual questions. I was saying things like, "Well, what I'm getting from you is this, and I feel that your feelings about this are..." And I was just doing what I do as a psychic. So I like the fact that I'm a lawyer and an attorney, because to me the two professions complement each other.
Sure. Well, I like it, and I was thinking in terms of picking a jury, but I'm also thinking in terms of somebody coming before you proclaiming their innocence and you knowing full well out that they're not innocent. I mean, I guess it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
It is. But what I try to do is, as a lawyer, I have to represent people and help them. And as a medium, my job is to also help them. But I had a guy come to me recently. He's a veteran, had all sorts of issues. And during the conference, I could feel the presence of his deceased father's spirit near him. And I sensed a lot of conflict between them. So I said to him, "You had an issue with your dad, didn't you?" And he looked at me, and he's a real tough, rough guy, but I could see the tears in his eyes, and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "He was so mean to me, so bad to me. He beat me, beat my mother. I'm so angry." He goes, "I'm trying to forgive him, but I just can't." And I said, "Well, if you can't forgive him, then ask God to forgive him." And this guy gave me a double take. He says, "I've been in therapy for 25 years, and nobody's ever told me that." He goes, "That I can do."
Right.
You know, and it really felt good. And see, that's why it comes in handy being a medium and being an attorney, because a lot of these people are guilty, like you correctly pointed out, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily evil.
Sure.
And I found that grief leads to crime. Because a lot of unresolved grieving issues, particularly with men, women are better about coping with their emotions and embracing their feelings and expressing them than men are. And men have a tendency, because of the way we're socialized, to suppress our feelings. And so what happens is this leads to acting out behaviors. And I see that as a lawyer, and then as a psychic medium, what I try to do is get them to, if not confront them, then to at least deal with them, possibly get them into counseling. And because I find that if you can cure the pain, you can cure the problem.
Right. So I imagine besides being a lawyer, but also taking that extra step, because I'm sure that some lawyers are indifferent to the person's pain, okay? They have a job to do, and they're dealing with the job. And it seems to me that you're taking a little bit of an extra step, and you're just trying to, kind of maybe intercede in people's lives and maybe kind of shift them out of the behavior that they're in and maybe set them on a better path, which I think is really a great thing. I just think, as soon as I was thinking psychic, lawyer, that's got to be interesting. Because I've often thought with numerology, that I would be brilliant at picking a jury, because all I'd have to do is look at the charts and I'd tell you exactly how that person's going to feel about certain things, you know, because you can tell from the energy. So I thought that would be even brilliant as well, to be a psychic and be able to really be able to read people that well, to be able to choose the right people to be on your jury, so that, you know, actually kind of putting it in your favor. Because jury selection is really so important, right?
It is probably the single most important phase of the jury trial, is selecting the jury. Let me tell you, Alice, team, I could be up there asking the questions and doing the psychic, you know, picking up on their vibration. You could be doing their charts, and we could get a jury that was fair and impartial. And because a lot of times people on a jury, they don't necessarily, they're not lying, but they're not telling us what they're really feeling. They're telling us what they think we want to hear. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not that they're being dishonest. It's that they are afraid to say what they perceive to be the wrong thing. I mean, I had a friend of mine, she was on a jury, and there was this Jamaican drug dealer that was on trial, and he was arrested for selling drugs within 1,000 feet of a school, which in Florida, that's where I live, is a crime, as well it should be. And they said, do you have any feelings about this? And she raises her hand and she said, if I had a shotgun, I'd blow him away right now. Okay, so yeah, that obviously got a reaction out of the judge and out of the jury. And of course, she was excused because, you know, she was showing bias.
Well, she was smart. She knew how to get excused from jury duty.
But except, you know, I know her pretty well, and she's also a Native American. And she said, no, that's how I feel. She goes, anyone that sells drugs to children, you know. And so sometimes people express their feelings honestly like she did.
One time,
I was selecting a jury, and I was talking to this woman, and I started feeling that tingly sensation that mediums get when a spirit is around. And I said, and have you ever been the victim of a crime? And the woman began to cry, and she said, my sister was in a foreign country, and an escaped mental patient raped, murdered, and dismembered her body and dumped it into a garbage can. And I'm standing there, and everyone in the courtroom is looking at me, and all I'm thinking is, they didn't tell me in law school how to deal with this one. And I knew, because I could feel her sister's presence. And so what I said was, I'm so terribly sorry for your loss. Please forgive me for bringing up such a painful memory. And then I just moved on to the next person. Because really, what can you say in a situation like that?
No, sometimes there's no words. So, yeah, that's... Well, I think it's it makes you probably... what makes you a successful attorney, and I love the combination. Now, I want to go back just a little bit and ask you, you know, another question, because you come from a long line of psychics and mediums, or your family has had these gifts, okay? So did you have, it's a kind of a twofold question, did you have practicing mediums and psychics in your family, number one? Number two, what was it like growing up for you? I mean, was this, you know, if you had experiences as a child, was this, people embracing it and encouraging you? Or, you know, because to me, it would be really cool to have psychics and mediums in your family, because that, in my family, it wasn't the case, so I was the odd man out. But I would think that that'd be really interesting to have a family that nurtured that rather than, you know, swept it under the rug. So that's my question. What was it like growing up?
Well, let me take the second part first. It was wonderful having a psychic mother, because she was always in communication with spirits. She didn't do it for a living, but people would flock to her for her wisdom and for her guidance. My father also has ability. He's very clairaudient. He hears spirits. So it's on both sides of the family, both mom's and dad's side of the family. And it was really kind of fun, because I'd come home from school and mom would have that look on her face, like whenever she encountered a spirit, and she'd say, I saw a spirit today. And I'd be like, cool, do we have any chocolate chip cookies? And she'd go, yeah, honey, they're over there. You know, and I'd be sitting there eating them like, so what'd you see? And she'd tell me about it. And we were Catholic. So Catholics have a tendency to be predisposed towards mysticism and spirituality, although the Catholic Church and other organized religions teach that, oh, don't do that because it's, you know, not good. But we disregarded all the primitive superstition, and we realized that this is a gift, and this is something that is to be used to help people. So it was really cool having a psychic mom, and, you know, we would openly discuss, like, something my mother and I used to like to do. If we went out to lunch someplace, like at the mall or some busy restaurant, we would read people's auras. Now, I know that and that's supposedly a little bit on the invasive side, but we didn't do anything with it. But we'd say, like, look at that one. Look at that one. What color is that? Look how big that one is. And
that must have been awesome.
It was fun. It was fun. And,
yeah.
You know, my mom passed almost 4 years ago, and I miss her dearly. And, yes, I can see her spiritually. And people think that if you're a medium, that when somebody you love dies, that, oh, well, you know, you'll handle it fine. And it's like, no, that's not the case. First and foremost, I'm a human being, and when somebody I love dies, it hurts like hell, and it hurts really bad. And the fact that I can communicate with them spiritually is comforting in that I know that their spirit lives on, but I still miss the physical presence of that person. Now, the first part of your question was about running in the family where they're practicing people. Well, there was my mom and her grandmother, who was my great-grandmother, who emigrated from Italy, and she was well known in the Italian community of New York and North New Jersey as the woman who knew things. She was also a midwife and what we would consider a healer. And she lived into her 90s, and up until the day that she died, Catholic nuns used to go and pay homage to her. And the Catholic Church treated her with great, great respect. One incident is she was invited to, well, not invited, but she went to the funeral of this this child that was barely a year old, and in Italian fashion they have an open casket. And all of a sudden my great-grandmother, her name was Giovanna walks over the casket and pulls the baby out of it, and everyone's like, sacrilege, outrage, and she started to pat the child on the back, and the child began to cough. What had happened was the baby was in a coma, and this is back in, like, you know, 1910, and so, and I don't know if even a doctor, and they were ready to bury this child alive, and she saved the baby's life.
Oh, my goodness.
She used that ability. Meanwhile, on my father's side of the family, they were very WASPy, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant family, been here since, like, the late 1600s. My father's sister, one of his sisters and his mother used to have the ladies over on Thursday afternoons. Well, they were having seances. They passed it off as like tea.
and they're very really we are.
Yeah. We're not playing bridge, or, you know, we're communicating with spirits. And but it was very clandestine, and one didn't speak of such things. And so it's very interesting because I've got both these families and very different approaches to it. So I hope that answers your question.
Huh. Well, I just was wondering, you know, what the childhood was like and where the support was and how that may have helped you to develop your abilities, or certainly teach you things about your abilities, which I think is a wonderful thing. As I said, I can reflect back to my childhood, and, you know, like you said earlier about the cold chills, knowing that spirit was around, and I know that I lived in a haunted house when I was a child. I know I did, okay? And it inevitably, I would be woken up night after night after night, and the bedroom would be freezing cold, and I'd be cold chills, and I'd be scared to death, you know, because I couldn't see it. But I just knew something was there, and I would just, like, sit there and pull the covers over my head and rock myself back to sleep. I had to deal with it on my own, because I had the kind of parents, I mean, we had six kids, okay? When they put us to bed, they didn't want to see our faces till morning, okay? So you didn't go running into mommy and daddy's room and tell them that you were scared night after night. It just wasn't done. So I had to learn how to deal with myself. And so there was a whole lot of things in my childhood that I kind of jealous in a way that, You know, it would have been nice to have some support, have somebody tell me what exactly that was, because I was actually afraid of the dark and afraid of nighttime coming for the longest time I can remember, for years, even into my adulthood, afraid of night coming. So it was just kind of a thing that you know, it's nice to have the support. It's nice. It's wonderful.
It was, and I feel for you because I've met so many mediums that have that felt so isolated. And, you know, even now I meet children that are of psychic ability and their family doesn't understand them. And do you find that with psychic children, they can zero in on us?
Sure.
I was somewhere and there was this little boy, must have been 2 years old, with his mother, and he just wouldn't take his eyes off me.
Oh,
he was reaching out to me, and I walked up to him and I just looked into his eyes, and he ran up and he hugged me. Okay, and his mother goes, he never does that. I said, well, your child is psychic. I go, he's different than your other children. He's more sensitive. He's deeper.
Sure.
I'm not saying that he's better. And she goes, how do you know these things? And I said, well, because we can tell each other. And when we were leaving, he's like waving to me. And I was with a group of people, and they were going, that was really weird. I said, no.
Yeah.
I said, he doesn't understand his ability yet, but he can spot other people with it. And
right.
I do. You can tell. And with psychic children, you can see it in their eyes. It's the eyes that tell.
I always see the kids in restaurants and whatnot, and they have swivel head. You know, it's like I could be sitting, you know, kitty corner from them, and the kid swivels around and is staring at me, and I turn and I look, and they're smiling at me. And children's eyes follow me. I see them following me as I'm leaving, you know, and I'll smile, and they're looking straight at me, and I know that they're looking at me for a reason, you know, so I notice that quite a bit. But listen, Mark, I know that I heard a beep, which means we have a caller, and caller, just hang in there for a second, and just so that everyone knows, all of our listeners know that Mark really has very graciously agreed to do readings for our listening audience, which is wonderful to have this opportunity to get some short, brief readings from Mark, whatever he can do in 5 minutes, but you're welcome to call into the show. Now, you may have just a question about your own psychic ability. Maybe you've had some experiences. Maybe you have a haunted house. You want to ask Mark a question. Certainly, you're welcome to ask general questions. If you want a reading, you're also welcome to call into the show. Let me give you the numbers really quick. You can call toll-free 888-815-9756. You can call in at 530-327-7602. 530-776-5185, 530-413-4522. I know I read them fast, but you can always go to the front page, BBS Radio, look for the numbers right there for Station 1. Okay, caller, I hear you. Who's calling, please?
Hi, my name is
Hello?
David.
Your name is what?
David.
Hi, David, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm
going
to try to kill two birds with one stone with this question. It's like every time I look at the clock, I see 5:13.
Every time you look at the clock, you see what?
5:13.
5:13. Okay.
Yeah, that's my birthday. I don't know if it's just coincidence. I just like about the past 2 months, about every day, I look at the clock and it's exactly 5:13. Tell me, look at the clock. Like,
Sure. That's kind of a numerology. Let me feel that, and then I want to turn over to Allison because that's her forte. But, David, that is not a coincidence. And I don't want to do the psychic Pez dispenser advice and say, oh, that's your spirit guide. But a very similar thing happens to me and happens to a friend of mine. Okay, and we have different numbers. Like every time I look at the clock, it's my mother's birthday. And I know that that's when my mother spirit is letting me know that she's around. Now, it's interesting because this is your birthday. And so there is a spiritual influence there reassuring you. Hold on a second. Give me a second. I feel that there's a male energy around you, and it has a very the spirit has a very paternalistic feeling. Okay, and I'm getting that it's either a father or a grandfather. Okay, and I'm getting that this man was quite wise, and that when he passed, it was a sudden passing. It wasn't long and slow, and I feel that he may have passed from, it feels like it could have been a heart attack or stroke or heart attack stroke combination, because there was some numbness.
I had an uncle who died from a brain aneurysm.
Brain aneurysm? Okay, was he on your dad's side?
No, it was my mother's brother.
Mother's brother. Okay. All right, because, yeah, he's got a very paternalistic type of feeling. I'm getting that he may have had a bit of a receded forehead. Like, he wasn't bald, but his forehead was a little bit bigger. And does that make sense?
That's him. That's
okay,
my Uncle
that's
Kevin.
Him. Okay, well, he's the one that's popping in and doing this, or rather directing your attention at that particular time. Okay, let's see why he's doing this. This is strange. I'm just going to convey what I'm getting. Tomatoes, 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 tomatoes. Do tomatoes have a significance to you?
Tomatoes?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Not really.
Okay, there's a lot of things that tomatoes could be. I don't like to diagnose or prescribe, but tomatoes have lycopene in them. And lycopene is something that I'm getting from this. Lycopene is something that men in particular need to prevent and stave off certain types of cancers, particularly prostate cancer. I am not saying for one second that you have prostate cancer or that you are in danger of it. I am just saying that he is communicating that to you so that you should be more aware of your health in the men's department, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see what else he wants to say. Oh, God, this guy could be very funny. He had a real pronounced laugh, almost like a belly laugh when he laughed. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let me see if he's got a message for you. Bear with me for a second. I'm getting the sense that your mother is still here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she's here.
Okay, I think the message is for her. Hold on. This is weird. Talking about a band box. In other words, it's like a box with a bow on it, like a present, like he wants to give her a present. So let me see. Obviously, it's not a physical present. It's a spiritual present. Hold on. Okay. He wants her to know that she, like, basically he always loved her. She was always loved. She gave him a lot of support in life, emotional support. I get the feeling that at least at some part, particularly prior to his passing, they were very close. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That was her closest sibling.
Ah, okay. That's why he's zeroing in on this. Hold on. He's saying he loves her bunches, okay? Like, you know, it's like a slang term. I don't know exactly, but it's coming across like, I love you in bunches. I love you bunches. Like, he just wants to give her a big kiss and a big hug. So what he's telling you to do is give your mom a big hug, a big kiss, tell her that you love her bunches and also that he loves her bunches and bunches, okay? And he keeps showing me bunches, and he's showing me, like, bouquets of flowers. We're not talking roses. We're talking flowers, like, with those little chrysanthemums and mums and peonies and baby's breath, like lots and lots of little bouquets of flowers. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but if it doesn't, then it's a representation of him giving her lots and lots of love and support. And he's thanking her in particular for this one chicken dish that she used to make that he really liked. So does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's the message that your uncle's giving. Does the name Fred, or a male name, not necessarily him, but the name Fred or Freddie or Frederica, but it feels like it's a male name that starts with an F sound. Does that make sense to you?
A F? That's passed on?
Yes.
Let me think.
I mean, I'm getting this from him, so I don't know if it's him or it is somebody that has passed on, or somebody that's like Fred or Frank, Frederico, something like that. If you don't recognize it right away, think on that, because let me see, what does he want to say about that? He says he wants to acknowledge that particular person. Basically, he's like saying, hey, how you doing?
It starts with an F?
Yeah, it's like an FR, like a Frank, Fred. That type of sound.
I can't think of nobody off the top. but I'll keep it in mind.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. A lot of times this will hit you like in a day or two, like, oh, my gosh, you know. And it may not be someone that you know or that you would think of right away, but it's somebody that he wants to acknowledge. Allison, I'm gonna give you a shot at the 513 because that's definitely right up your alley.
Right, and just so you know, David, that when you get a repetitive number, when you keep, like, all of a sudden for no reason you look at the clock and it's 513, or maybe you're being woke up in the morning and it's 513, that is a sign from spirit because we all get messages in that manner. And once they know, once they realize that you're saying, I keep getting that same number, once they know you're paying attention, they give it to you more often, okay? And so then it starts to come with receipts or look at the license plates in front of you and see where that 513 shows up. But that is directly a message from spirit. And, of course, Mark got it that it's coming from your mother's brother. So it happens all the time. So when that happens, don't want to freak you out. Kind of smile and know that somebody just said hello to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, David. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. Okay. And I do want all of our listeners to know that I actually have an article on my website. It's visiblebynumbers.com. And I wrote an article on repetitive numbers. And you can find it, I think, on the resource page. And literally, you know, it even gives you little definitions, like maybe you're getting the same number over again, and there's kind of a definition of what that might mean. So I kind of encourage anybody that's listening has the same thing happening to them, it always is a message from spirit one way or another. And you're more than welcome to look up that article on my website. And guess what, Mark? I think we have another caller, so I'm going to take my next caller. Who's calling, please?
Super.
Hello?
Hello?
We have a caller. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, Allison. It's Beth from Massachusetts.
Hi, Beth. How are you? Do you have a question for Mark?
I sure do. How are you, Mark? Thanks for taking the call.
Beth.
I have a sort of general question about employment, relationship type question. I've been through a lot of changes in the past year and a half, and it seems to have affected both of those areas of my life. I get a sense that there's a path work-wise that I'm supposed to be on. But I tend to get really fearful of it, and I'm wondering what you pick up in regard to those issues.
You know, what's interesting is before we get into the relationship, I think that this is a core change that deals with you as a person and a lot of changes that are going on internally and physically with you. So there's a complete change. Did you lose a lot of weight in the last 6 months to a year?
No, I've gained weight.
Okay, no, I see. I'm seeing you losing weight. Okay,
oh, thank God.
There's the weight issue, but I see that what's going to happen is you're going to see the reason that you're putting on the weight is because you're unhappy. Okay,
yep.
And you're turning to food. Like some people turn to alcohol, some people turn to cocaine, some people turn to food. Okay,
right.
Out of all those addictions, food's probably the safest one because you're not going to get arrested for possession of cookies.
Right.
But you've got to get that under control, okay?
Yeah.
That is of paramount importance because as you lose the weight, you're going to take a whole new change. All right, so physically, there's four levels to your aura. Let's take each one. All right, physical. Physical means what I'm just talking about. Right now you're out of balance because there's also a lot of worry, there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of self-doubt. And the way you're coping with that is eating, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get the eating under control. You've got to start getting some more exercise. Of course, your doctor's got to check with your doctor first, get into the right exercise and diet program. All
right?
Right. Now, this leads now to the emotional level of your aura, which, of course, and all four levels are tied to each other. The emotions are, I hate to sound cliche, but I'm going to quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt, being an attorney, I like FDR. the only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Okay?
Yeah.
So the fear that you are doing isn't because you're not a capable person, isn't because you're not competent, isn't because you're intelligent. and isn't because you don't have a lot of love. It's just the fear of the unknown and the change which you're clinging to. So once you set that aside or realize, okay, I'm afraid, but I'm not going to let it dominate me. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this then leads to the mental part of your aura. Now, the mental, actually, your mental status is pretty clear. There's a conflict between the mental and the emotional. The mental part of you is very logical because you've got a good grasp on that. Your mind is good. It seems like you've got a flair for precision. Does that make sense?
Not
you
exactly.
You can be very precise and organized is what I'm saying.
Yes, very organized,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Organization, this is your big strength, okay?
Right.
And the mental part of your aura is saying, okay, let's get that organization going into the physical and the emotional, and then everything's going to fall into place.
Okay.
So the strongest band in your aura right now is your mental status. That is your saving grace. That's where your discipline is. And now this leads to the spiritual level of your aura. Actually in good shape there. You've got a tremendous respect and love for spirituality, but this is the part of your being that kind of gets shoved to the side while you're focusing on all your other issues. So once you start doing more spiritual things on a daily basis, I'm not saying you got to sit there and meditate for 4 hours at a time, but maybe say a couple prayers, do some affirmations. That's going to be a biggie for you.
Okay,
and the affirmations, you can say, I'm a clear channel for God's peace, love, and light. I will take sane health care of myself. I am a beautiful and loving person. Because when you start doing that, you're going to start bringing the white light into you. You're going to start feeling better about yourself on a spiritual level. Then you feel better about yourself on an emotional level. Then you're going to start taking better care of yourself on a physical level.
Okay.
So these are all the things that are tied in. This is what you need to be doing.
Wonderful. Makes sense.
Wonderful. Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you so much for calling into the show. I think you had some really great advice there.
Yes, he sure did. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Take care, Beth.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
That was really awesome. I really enjoyed listening to that. A lot of wonderful practical advice. Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess we're going to keep you hopping here, Mark. You're going to keep you working.
We are popping and hopping tonight. Let's do it.
Okay. So I have another caller. I hear you. So who's calling?
Hello?
Hi there. Who's this?
Dennis.
Hi, Dennis. How are you? Do you have a question?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
No, I wanted to thank you and Mark for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I have a question for Mark.
Go for it.
Okay, Dennis, go ahead.
Okay. I've had a lot of issues going on with me, quite a bit going on with me lately, both spiritually and physically. And yesterday during deep meditation, I had an encounter with a female acquaintance, I believe it was. But I don't know if I'm interpreting what the person was telling me correctly or what, and I was wondering if you have any can shed any insight on that. Or if you're receiving any messages from anybody for me, or what?
Did this person die of some type of stomach ailment or problem with her stomach or lower, like the GI tract area?
Yeah, partially.
Okay, because that's what I'm getting right away. I'm getting like, I don't know if there was a tumor or some type of, I'm getting like the word malignancy in my stomach, low stomach, GI tract. And I'm getting it's a female energy. Her passing was kind of difficult. I mean, you know, no passing is wonderful, but this woman had quite a bit of suffering towards the end. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I don't want to get into the details of that, but okay. So there's this feminine energy around you, and you said she was an acquaintance because I'm feeling that. She's coming in on the level that would be like brother, sister, friend. And it's interesting. While there was love between the two of you, I don't see that this was necessarily a romantic liaison, but it was like you two were just so tied into each other mentally and spiritually. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So let's see what she's got to say. She's saying that you're a very complex man, okay? And it's interesting because the imagery that she's presenting to me is a spool of thread, but it's a white spool of thread, which is very nice because that's representing the white light. And the problem is that you're all bound and tied up. In other words, you know how a spool of thread is like, you know, and the thread needs to be released so that you can find your fullest potential. And what I'm getting is that you are undergoing a lot of emotional stress right now that you are feeling in your chest area. You know how, like, when you get tense about things, you get that clamping down sensation in your chest? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So this is what she's focusing on. Now, it's easy to identify the problem. Let's see if she can tell us what the solution to it is. Hold on. You know, I know it sounds cliche, but she says you have to learn to let go. And it's not just letting go of the tension of your day-to-day existence, because there's a lot of stuff on you right now. Some of it's work, some of it's coming from family, some of it is coming from a quarter that I don't quite understand. It's neither work nor family, but it could be some friends or some type of relationship that's annoying you. But she's going back a ways. There's a lot of things, I think, from when you were in your mid-20s in particular that you need to let go of. And she's not fully explaining what that stuff is. But what she's saying is that holding on to all these things from the past is doing you absolutely no good in the present and in the future. And it's interesting because I keep seeing these green leaves, and they look like look like bay leaves, like big bay leaves. I'm not saying that they are bay leaves, but they're that. You know what I'm talking about, that type of shape. Okay, let me see what that is supposed to mean. Do you smoke by any chance?
No, I don't, but I'm around a heavy smoker.
Ah, okay, because it looks like tobacco, okay? It looks like tobacco. And this seems to be, let me see. Is this person causing you a bit of anxiety?
Yeah, at times, yes.
Okay. It doesn't look like it's overwhelming. It's not like an avalanche of problems, but there's some tension coming from that person. And I think that you have a tendency to be in the savior role. In other words, you're always trying to help people. And what she's saying is you need to stop doing that so much. You need to focus on you calming down, you being healthier mentally and emotionally, and then everything's going to fall into place. So that's what she's trying to tell you.
Hey, this all makes sense now.
Okay, and Dennis, this is Allison,
yes.
And I just kind of want to jump in here just for one moment, okay?
Sure.
You said that you had this rather profound meditation yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, your name is an 11, okay? Yesterday was an 11 day, and I wouldn't be surprised if you have 11 energy in your chart, because usually that's the way it's going to fall. And I really think that you do have kind of like an open doorway to the spiritual. And I'm pretty sure, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is to try to believe and get comfortable, you know, with the fact that you do get messages, that you do get intuition, that you do get guidance. But pay attention to those 11 days. Because I think that it's much more profound for you on days that are 11s. Like it could be a 29 day or it could be an 11 day. And I think you're going to get some real serious profound messages on those days. You might even want to do a journal. And so journal, and if you, you know, like write down the day that you get messages, and you might see a pattern there. And dreams even that come in on 11 days. But I'm feeling that you are quite psychic, and I just wanted to share that with you, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. That makes a lot of sense, too.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for calling into the show, Dennis. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you.
All right. You have
Thank
a
you,
great
Dennis.
Night. Okay. And I just want to tell our listening audience that I want to redirect everybody's attention to Mark's website, which is healinggriefwithbelief.com. And if you go to Mark's website, certainly if you want to get a reading with him, All the information, contact information and whatnot is there. He has some wonderful blogs. There's also some wonderful testimonials. Not that we really need to read them, because from what I'm hearing this evening, I think that it's really self-evident that Mark is pretty much proving, you know, that he really has a gift. But I want to just direct you all to his website. It's healgriefwithbelief.com, and you can find that, a direct link to that website, if you go to the front page of bbsradio.com, scroll down to Visible by Numbers on Monday nights, click on that info tab, and you can just, you know, go right off onto Mark's website from there, okay? So I want to just redirect everybody. Now, Mark, we have another caller, and I'm going to take this caller, but I just want you to be aware that try to keep it around 5 minutes, because then we got to wrap up the show, okay?
Not a problem.
Okay. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison. It's Kim from Maryland. How are you?
Very good. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I do have a question for Mark. A couple nights ago, Mark, I don't really ever consider myself to dream, but when I went to bed, I did go to sleep. I have had out-of-body experiences before, so I am familiar with those. But what I'm not really sure what you would call what I experienced, but I experienced like a drowning. But it was not me, and it was so real, it was like I was in it, but it wasn't me. Does that make sense or no?
Well, you were observing. You were observing something. Is your father on the other side by any chance?
Yes, he is.
Aha. Okay.
Why do you ask?
He's trying to make contact. I mean, as soon as you got on the phone, I started feeling father, so that's why that.
Aww.
All right, okay. Give me a second.
Okay.
I get that your father, or this male energy that I believe might be your father, had a tremendous love for either sailboats or the ocean or water. He had a tremendous appreciation for these type of things. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, boats and water, yes.
Okay, all right, that's where the drowning comes in. It's not that you were drowning, it's that you were receiving information from him, and it was so overwhelming it was perceived as drowning, because you were feeling the sensation with the water. What he was doing is your spirit was interfacing with his, and it's like he wanted to take you on, for lack of a better term, a cosmic sailboat ride. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got this really beautiful energy. I really like your father. He is he's in a great place on the other side. Lot of light powder blues, sky blues, billowy clouds, the sailboat. So what he's projecting is that he's in a place of great tranquility and peace. And he loves nothing more than like the sun on his face and the wind in his hair, and he's like real energetic, real water oriented type of guy. Okay, now let me see what the message is.
Okay.
He is immensely proud of you, and he really likes the path that you're on, because he feels that although you give a lot to everybody, the nice thing about you is you're somewhat, I don't want to say secretive, but you keep your own counsel. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And he says that's a good trait. And he says, don't be afraid to give your heart to people, but be very guarded and guided about it, because in the past you've opened up too soon to people, and you've gotten hurt. And he doesn't want you to do that again. But he wants you to be very measured and very deliberate in how you go about interfacing with people, particularly in a romantic sense, but also in a business sense. I don't know if you teach or you do something where you educate or somehow help people learn things. Does that make sense?
Yes, I actually do, Mark. I have a daughter that passed 11 months after my dad passed, and it's a organization called Compassionate Friends, and I have done a couple speeches at that class, so.
Okay.
You know, with helping other parents who have lost their children as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wish we had more time, because earlier when I was meditating before the show, there was a young girl that came to me that I thought was going to be making an appearance. Did your daughter have lighter colored hair?
She did in younger years, yes.
Okay, yeah. It feels like it was a very sudden and unexpected passing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's true. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so she's been around me because she knew this call was coming in. So let me get a message from her, because I know we're time pressed. Loves what you're doing with Compassionate Friends. And the interesting thing is she's showing me autumn. I'm getting like falling maple leaves and all those different colors. What is significant about her in autumn?
That was her favorite season, and mine as well.
Okay, super. That's why she's showing me that. She likes the cool, dry, crisp air. She loves the crunching sound of leaves beneath her feet. She particularly liked things with allspice, cinnamon, and nutmeg in them. And she loves what you used to do with her on Halloween. There was these cookies or something you would bake that looked like pumpkin faces or something like that, or gingerbread man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And she wants to let you know that she is indeed with people. She's not alone. She's obviously with your father and with a grandmother as well. And there's somebody over there with a name that begins with P. It's like Peter, something like that.
Paul.
Paul, okay, that she is with, that she wants to communicate that to you, and she wants to say that she loves you so very much, and she's glad that you are working through your pain, and that the fact that you are helping other people is your gift from God that you give to everyone, and that's what she wants you to know.
Wonderful. Okay, Kim?
Yes.
Okay,
thank
sweetie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so sorry that we have to end the show, but what a beautiful way to end the show. So, Kim, God bless you, honey.
God bless you, Kim.
God bless you. Yeah. Well, that was wonderful. That was a beautiful reading, Mark, and it's a beautiful way to end the show. And without question, the work that you did tonight on the show was amazing. I mean, I've had many, many mediums on the show, and I've sat and listened to many readings, and you were phenomenal tonight, and I just really honor you for your gift, but also I just see this beautiful heart with you as well, and this real, you know, people do this type of work for many, many reasons, and I really see in you this wonderful desire to truly want to help people, and you do it for all the right reasons, so I honor you for that, and I really appreciate your coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Allison. Let me tell you, working with you is such a privilege and an honor. I mean, I look forward to returning, and thank you for all the beautiful work you do. You are truly a light worker.
Thank you, Sudhi. You're invited back on the show. Especially, now you got a book that you're working on, Spirits to the Rescue, Healing Grief with Help from the Other Side. And let me tell you, dear heart, when you get that book, when you publish that book, I hope I'm the first person you call so we can get you on the show so we can talk about that book. And anytime you need to promote something, you know who to call. Give me a buzz, all right?
Absolutely, Allison. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mark. And thank you, everyone. Thank BBS Radio for letting us come here every single week. Thank you to our listeners, everyone that called in. Thank you so much for a wonderful show. Everyone that's listening, I appreciate you coming back week after week. And so we got to go. Time's up. Just wishing you all abundant blessings. Have a wonderful week. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.